когда сейчас они говорят, не сметь без нас ничего делать, у вас уже были шансы, ребята. Вы этими шансами не воспользовались, вы их просто провалили. И сейчас, когда Европа заявляет, Макрон агрессивнейшее заявление сегодня сделал, что единственная красная, то есть единственная проблема по Украине – это Россия и ее требования. Россия ведет стратегическую конфронтацию с европейцами. Мы должны доказать, что никогда не сдадимся перед лицом силы, которая нам угрожает. Заявил, что после урегулирования планирует направить войска в район Киева.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 25th. Coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started with today's news, remember to like this video, to share this channel, or to share this video, and to subscribe to this channel if you want. The choice is yours. And let's now get into what is going on in the world. And it does look like we are heading towards Istanbul 3.0. Putin had a phone call with Erdogan yesterday. Erdogan told the Russian president that Istanbul is ready to host talks between Russia and Ukraine, between Russia and the United States. And this would suit Russia. This is what Russia would prefer if we do get into a position where we will have talks between Russia and Ukraine and Russia and the United States, then no doubt Putin would prefer Istanbul for the continuity of the location. He would prefer to have those talks be Istanbul as they were in Istanbul 2.0 and as they were in Istanbul 1.0, right? He would like to have that diplomatic continuity with regards to the location of the negotiations. So he's got the confirmation from Erdogan. Erdogan has confirmed that Istanbul is ready to host the next round of talks. And Putin, according to reports from Russian media, from TASS, Putin said that the proposals that are currently floating around, I imagine when he says the word proposals, he's talking about Trump's 28-point peace plan, but he's probably also referencing the rewrites that took place yesterday, the rewrites that will take place in the future as Russia gets more involved in discussing this peace plan. He said these proposals are in the course of discussions at the Russia-US summit meeting in Alaska and can fundamentally be laid into the basis of the final peaceful settlement. These proposals are in line with what was talked about in Alaska, pretty much in line with what was talked about in Alaska between the United States and Russia. And they could be the foundation for a peaceful negotiation, a settlement, which could take place in Istanbul. That was the phone call between Putin and Erdogan. Not a coincidence that at this very moment, Putin and Erdogan are speaking on the phone, and I guess you could say they're moving things along on their end. Ushakov, he responded to the EU peace plan, Podolyak, from the European Union. And Ushakov, the presidential aide, Putin's presidential aide, he said that the European plan is unconstructive and unsuitable. That is what he said about the European, his plan. As far as the U.S. plan is concerned, the Trump 28-point peace plan, Ushakov, he said that it is acceptable to Russia. I would say not all, but many provisions of this plan, they seem quite acceptable to us. That is a direct quote. So that's Ushakov. The EU plan is unconstructive and unsuitable. The Trump plan is acceptable, or at least there are parts of the Trump plan, many, many provisions of the Trump plan that are acceptable to Russia. Interesting statement from Mr. Ushakov. The EU plan, we don't like it. The Trump plan, I like it. I don't like it a lot, but I like it. Yeah, the EU plan and the Trump plan, they have differences, no doubt about it. But they're also similar. On the key points, both plans are pretty similar. The EU plan is more in your face. It's more blunt, in your face. Russia surrender. That's the EU plan. We're not going to try to deceive or hide behind any words or any clauses or anything like that. We just want Russia to capitulate and to surrender. Where the U.S. plan, Trump's plan, is a bit more devious, I guess you could say, more manipulative in its wording, right? But the Trump plan is acceptable, and the EU plan is not acceptable, which to me signals that what's really driving the Kremlin to go along with this negotiation process is that they want to deal with Trump. They want nothing to do with the Europeans. And what they really want is they want to sit down with the United States. No matter how bad the points of the plan are, no matter how far away from June 2024 root causes, which I believe the Trump plan is very far away from June 2024 root causes. It doesn't really address any of the goals of the SMO when you think about it. Demilitarization, denazification, only the NATO part. And even that's a little bit fuzzy, to be quite honest, in Trump's 28-point peace plan, at least the plan that we've been given, that has been published, we've seen. But what's driving this is not so much the document as it is the person. Russia wants to sit across the table from Trump and from the United States and see if they can come to an understanding. Lavrov pretty much said the same thing, actually. He said that Europe does not belong at the negotiating table. And the reason that Lavrov gave is pretty spot on. He said that when it comes to peace negotiations, Russia negotiated with the Europeans during Minsk, and all of the Minsk agreements and the Normandy format, I think it was called, and all of these different negotiations and formats that Russia had with Europe, with Germany, with France. And basically Lavrov's point was, we've already been down that road with Europe. We've already negotiated agreements with Europe. We've come to understandings with Europe, and actual ways to prevent a conflict in Ukraine with Minsk 1, Minsk 2, and the Normandy formats, and it resulted in nothing. It resulted in Europe breaking all of those agreements. And so Lavrov's point was, we're done with Europe. Europe should not be at the table, shouldn't be anywhere close to the table. So Russia, in my opinion, is ready to sit down with the United States. That's what this is all about. That's why Russia continues to avoid blaming the United States when it comes to the root causes of the conflict, when it comes to who's behind this conflict? Who's driving this conflict? Who's launching the ATACMS missiles into Russia? Who's helping the Ukraine military with their drone strikes? It's the United States. It's the U.S. military. It's the NATO military, which is the United States military. But Russia avoids putting any blame on the United States, at least the Kremlin officials. They've all been told when it comes to the conflict in Ukraine, EU and UK, especially the UK. The UK is to blame and the EU is to blame. Let's avoid blaming the United States. Because they want to sit at the table with the United States, even though this is the U.S.'s proxy war. And Trump has jumped on this. He seized on this narrative that Russia is putting out, and he's positioned the United States as the neutral mediator. Because from Trump's point of view, he's seeing that Russia wants to sit at the table with his White House, with the United States. He's seeing that Russia avoids blaming the United States for anything that is happening in this conflict, at least for the past 3-4 months. Russia has avoided putting any blame on the United States. And so Trump is saying, you know what? I can use this to my advantage, and I can position the United States as the neutral mediator, even though we're the ones that are behind this conflict. I can still position this as me being the peacemaker and the mediator. And who knows, maybe I'll even get a Nobel Peace Prize. This will be my 9th conflict or my 19th conflict that I will resolve. Anyway, CBS News is reporting that the Army Secretary Driscoll met with Russian military officials, not in Moscow, but in the UAE. Secretary Driscoll met with members of the Russian delegation Monday night for several hours in Abu Dhabi. He is scheduled to meet with them again throughout the day Tuesday to discuss the peace process and rapidly move the peace negotiations forward, a U.S. official told CBS News. It is not clear who else is in the U.S. delegation in Abu Dhabi. That's an interesting sentence for them to throw in there. It is not clear who else was in the U.S. delegation. Kind of leads me to believe that there may have been some other important people in the U.S. delegation in Abu Dhabi meeting with Russian military. White House Secretary Karoline Leavitt, she told the media yesterday that pretty much everything has been agreed on between the United States and Ukraine. There are a couple of issues that still need to be worked out, but she said that Ukraine has pretty much agreed to the Trump 28-point peace plan. There have been changes made. Zelensky seems to be happy with the changes that have been made. Peskov, he said that Russia has not seen any of the rewrites or the changes that have been made to the Trump 28-point peace plan. But the reports that we're getting from the media is that these changes were to Ukraine's satisfaction. There are some rumors which claim that the limit on the military has been removed, the 600,000 limit that has been removed over Ukrainian objections. These are just rumors. But Zelensky, he seems to be satisfied with the negotiations that took place and the results that have taken place. He is set to go to the United States. But there are some reports from Ukraine media which claim that the Green Goblin's inner circle, his producers and script writers, they're telling him, don't go to the United States just yet, because we don't want any kind of blow up in the White House like we had last time. Let's make sure we're in complete agreement with all the points of the Trump peace plan. So that when you do go to the United States and you meet with Trump, everything has pretty much been pre-agreed, and we get a nice smooth meeting between yourself and the U.S. president. Ukraine media is reporting that the meeting was tough between Rubio and Yermak. The first couple of hours was very difficult, but then after they had various discussions on some of the points that they did not agree on, things went a lot smoother. And as I said in my video update yesterday, the military size, Ukraine, NATO, and the territory issue seemed to be the points that they were arguing over. It's all very odd, isn't it? The Ukraine delegation, the Zelensky regime, completely controlled by the United States. These are the U.S.'s puppets, right? And everything is made to seem as if there's real, you know, give and take, back and forth kind of negotiations going on between the United States and Ukraine, when in reality, the United States can do whatever it wants with the government in Kiev. Whenever it wants, whatever it wants. If it wants to keep the conflict going, it could pour more money and weapons to keep the conflict going and escalating. If it wants to pull the plug, it can pull the plug in 1 minute. If it wants to force Ukraine to sign a document or order Ukraine to sign a document, obviously it can get Ukraine, Yermak, Zelensky to sign the document. But the picture that has been painted is that there's real tough negotiations between Rubio and Yermak, between the United States and Ukraine, because once again, the United States is the neutral mediator in all of this, right? Right, right. So as the negotiations were taking place yesterday between Rubio and Yermak, Ukraine drones hit the south of Russia. The reports are is that they hit residential apartment buildings. There were civilian casualties, and then Russia, from my understanding of things, Russia then retaliated with missile and drone strikes of its own, according to Zelensky and Ukraine media. There were civilian casualties in the Russian retaliation, the Russian missile and drone strikes into Ukraine. So the strikes back and forth continue. The fighting on the front line continues. I talked about how Russia continues to advance in all areas of the front line, from north to center to south. Guliapole, Zaporozhye, Russia is in the city center, according to Ukrainian reports. And before we get to Venezuela, we are getting reports from Ukraine media that Yermak is now going after Nabu and Sapo. Zelensky aide orders probe into corruption agency chief. So Sapo, by the way, is the sister, the brother organization of Nabu, right? The two organizations are working to fight corruption in Ukraine. Okay. Anyway, if you believe that. But What an interesting twist to this corruption scandal. According to Ukrainsky Pravda, Yermak, he has now ordered an investigation into the Sapo agency chief. And there are reports that Zelensky called both of the agency chiefs into his office the other day, trying to resolve this corruption investigation, and nothing came out of it. And then it looks like Yermak ordered some sort of an investigation into the investigators. Investigate the corruption investigators. That is basically what is going on. By the way, the security services and the prosecutor's general office, they called Ukrainsky Pravda's report completely false. They're saying that no such investigation is going on of the Sapo agency chief. Sapo and Nabu. Sapo, Nabu. So let's talk about Venezuela and the Axios scoop. It is a scoop, two scoops, please, of some Axios news. They are reporting that Trump is ready to call Nicolas Maduro. I like it. I like it. I want to call Maduro. Get him to leave Venezuela, right? That's what it's all about. Get Maduro to exit Venezuela. So Trump is ready to talk to Maduro. No timeline, date, time, or anything like that has been announced. But according to Axios, this is being prepared. Let me pull up the article here. See what Axios is reporting. In this scoop, President Trump has told his advisors he's planning to speak directly with Maduro, even as the U.S. designated the Venezuelan president Monday as the head of a terrorist organization, administration officials told Axios. Yeah, yesterday became official that Maduro was designated as the head of the Cartel del Sol or something along those lines. A cartel, from my understanding, that doesn't even exist. This is a cartel that is not existent or used to exist and doesn't exist anymore. And now Maduro is the head of this cartel, and there's a $50 million reward for Maduro. Rubio talked about this, and I reported about this 2 weeks ago. About 2 weeks ago, Rubio posted this on X, that he's working through the Department of State to designate Maduro as the head of this cartel, and thus the cartel is a terrorist organization, and thus Maduro would be the head of a terrorist organization, which would clear the path for U.S. Decapitation strikes. So this has become, from my understanding, is that this is now official. Maduro and this cartel are now officially they are designated as terrorist organizations, and as they have been designated as terrorist organizations, we are getting the report that Trump is now ready to talk to Maduro. Axios reports why it matters. Trump's decision is an important milestone in his gunboat diplomacy aimed at Venezuela, and could be a sign that U.S. missile strikes or direct military action on land are not imminent, those sources say. Nobody is planning to go in and shoot him or snatch him at this point. I wouldn't say never, but that's not the plan right now, according to one official familiar with the discussion. In the meantime, we're going to blow up boats shipping drugs. We're going to stop the drug trafficking. Axios, further down in the article, says that word of Trump's interest in talking coincides with the State Department's decision Monday to label an alleged drug cartel in Venezuela as a foreign terrorist organization, which provides the U.S. more of a pretext to take military action in and around the South American nation. So Trump is going to try and get Maduro to exit. That's what he's going to try to do. Leave Venezuela, and we'll take over. That's going to be the ultimatum that he's going to give Maduro. And we'll see what Maduro does. Let's wait for the phone call, and then we'll see what Maduro does, what he says, what he tells Trump, if this phone call does take place, and then that will dictate what the U.S. does. My guess would be, if Maduro says no, I won't leave. I'll give you guys access to all the resources and all of that stuff, but I'm not going to leave my country, then I would guess that we're going to see some sort of military operation go down to try and remove Maduro, collapse his government, get people in Caracas to turn against him. We already know that the CIA is operating covertly, secretly, according to the New York Times, in Venezuela. So we're coming to some sort of an end, or the beginning of chaos in Venezuela, depending on how you want to look at it. So Trump went after Rand Paul really, really hard yesterday. He's gone after Marjorie Taylor Greene to the point where MTG is leaving in January. He's really going after Massey, and he's also taking on Rand Paul. So it does look like Trump is looking to remove these three lawmakers. He's not draining the swamp, Trump. Trump is not draining the swamp. Trump is cleaning the swamp out of the few people that don't agree with the swamp. He's trying to cleanse the swamp of dissenters, right? People that are against the swamp and the deep state. That's what Trump's really trying to do. That's how it looks. It looks like the swamp has told the U.S. president it's time to get rid of these three troublemakers. At least that's how they look at them. MTG, Massey, and Rand Paul. And so MTG, it looks like MTG is on her way out. We'll see if she runs for any other higher office. Thomas Massey, he's working on. And Rand Paul, he is now going after. He is escalating against Rand Paul. He posted on X, "Whatever happened to Senator Rand Paul? He was never great, but he went really bad. I got him elected twice in the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, but he just never votes positively for the Republican Party. He's a nasty little guy, much like Congressman Thomas Massey. Little is with two D's. A.K.A. Rand Paul Jr. That's Thomas Massey's nickname, Rand Paul Jr. Also of Kentucky, which I won three times in massive landslides. A sick wacko who refuses to vote for our great Republican Party, MAGA or America First. It's really weird." And Doug Stafford, he replied or commented on Trump's Truth Social post on Rand Paul, and he said, "Rand, who might be the least nasty person in D.C., was elected 6 years before POTUS was and won re-election by 25 points. He votes 90% with his party, and the other 10%, it's because they're spending too much or taking your freedom. Literally, nothing in that tweet has any basis in reality." It's exactly right. Nothing that Trump posted on Truth Social has any basis in reality whatsoever about Rand Paul. But it's obvious that that Trump, the swamp, the deep state, the neocons, the Lindsey Grahams, who went after Trump in his first term, who did not support Trump in his first term, totally bought into the whole Russiagate narrative. All of these guys that Trump is now aligned with, these neocons and these swamp creatures, they're obviously looking to remove the three people that they consider to be problematic. And Trump is doing it. And he's using his huge platform, his Truth Social platform, to talk crap about Massey and Rand Paul and MTG, and to bully them and to try to remove them. And once those three are gone, well, you know, you don't have anyone else really in Congress, or at least in the Republican Party, who will provide any pushback to the neocons or the swamp. No one. You'll have a very pure neocon-driven Republican party. That's where this is going. Anyway, that is Trump's latest on Truth Social. I think now I can get to a clown world, a couple of clown worlds. And the first clown world is courtesy of CNN. Erin Burnett, who has a little bit of a crush on the Green Goblin, I would say. maybe she has a crush on the Green Goblin. Remember when she was in Kiev or in Ukraine, she was interviewing Zelensky and they were walking through some park. And it was very intimate the walk, the talk between Burnett and Zelensky, at least the posts, the videos that came out from that interview made it as if those two really liked each other. They really got along well. Funny interview between Burnett and Zelensky. That was about 2 years ago. Anyway, she is coming to the aid of the Green Goblin because Trump posted something about how ungrateful Zelensky is. He rarely says thank you or something like that with regards to everything that the U.S. has done. So what did CNN do? They put together a video montage of the 78 times that Alensky has said thank you to the United States and to the people of America. 78 times they counted, 78 freaking times. Yeah, they came to Alensky's aid. CNN and Aaron Burnett. Yep. So that's clown world number one. Clown world number two is that there are people on X, prominent people on X, who actually believe that Ukraine is winning in Pokrovsk. That's what they believe. This is big news. Ukraine is holding Pokrovsk. This is not a post from 2 months ago or 3 months ago or even 2 weeks ago. This is a post from the other day. And they even include a map. They actually believe that Ukraine is winning in Pokrovsk. And they're actually saying now that that Trump is bailing out Putin. Putin is about to suffer a big loss in Pokrovsk. And now Trump is coming to his rescue. Damn it, Trump. Damn it, Trump coming to Putin's aid. By the way, Mitch McConnell, a swamp creature, one of the neocon swamp creatures that Trump is supporting, is actually saying the same thing, that Trump is coming to Putin's aid. He is doing Putin's bidding with coming out with the 28-point peace plan. It is a Putin plan, and Trump is coming to the aid and support of Putin. That is what Mitch McConnell said. Let me see if I have his quote. Here it is. Putin has spent the entire year trying to play President Trump for a fool if administration officials are more concerned with appeasing Putin than securing real peace, then the president ought to find new advisors. Mitch McConnell. These are the people that Trump supports and protects. These are the people, Mitch McConnell's and Lindsey Graham's. Oh boy. J.D. Vance, he replied to this quote from Mitch McConnell, and he said, "This is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous attack on the president's team, which has worked tirelessly to clean up the mess in Ukraine. That Mitch, always eager to write blank checks to Biden's foreign policy, left us. I wonder if the three candidates to replace McConnell in Kentucky share his views here." That was Vance's reply to McConnell, the turtle, Mitch McConnell. And one more clown world in Germany. Sarah Wagenknecht, she was speaking to the very fair, very objective German media, and Wagenknecht, she was asked about these negotiations that are taking place, and she made the point that, you know, in 2022, Ukraine had a much better deal on the table until Boris Johnson and all of us in Europe, we messed it up. We flew to Kiev, Bojo flew to Kiev and messed it all up. But it was a very favorable deal for Ukraine. They should have taken that 2022 deal, but they didn't. And she was making the point that now the deal is much, much more difficult for Ukraine. And as she was saying this, the very fair, very objective, not biased, very accurate German media, they decided to cut her mic. They cut her mic, and they had to issue a statement saying that in 2022, it wasn't as Wagenknecht was portraying it. Actually, Russia was demanding the capitulation of Kiev. And so they cut her mic, and they had to issue a fake news correction, a misinformation correction. And that's the German media. That is the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, Telegram, and X. We are on X. Go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch. There is a link in the description box. down below. Take care.